Each compulsion I have is a temptation I have chosen to follow. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with our instant inspiration this evening. Each compulsion I have is a temptation I have chosen to follow. Now, do you know what a compulsion is? Tell me.
Doing something comes to my mind and really going for it. Without thinking, is it right or wrong? I like it.
Exactly. And what do you think compulsion is?
Well, something that comes up spontaneously in my thoughts.
And Ellen, what do you think compulsion is?
An emotion.
Good.
Please.
An intuitive idea.
And what do you think compulsion is, sir?
A compulsion is an idea which takes hold of your mind and emotions and makes you do things which you may normally think twice before doing.
Well, that's all correct, except that compulsion is the birth of a habit. Mm-hmm. It's the birth of a habit. That's my definition. Compulsion is the birth of a habit. Each compulsion I have is a temptation I have chosen to follow. Of course, none of you said it was a temptation. But each compulsion I have is a temptation I have chosen to follow. In other words, we feel it's right to do it. In reading the Business Week magazine, I constantly read it with an attitude quite different than most people. I say, business is good, business is good, business is good, business is getting better, business is wonderful, it is high, all the stock returns are high and stable. I mean, that's how I read it. And of course, that's what happens. I hadn't been reading it for a while and it went down. And then when I started reading it, it went up. And now it is reaching new heights. New heights. It's really soaring soundly. And a lot of companies that we hadn't expected to be so sound are sound. And I was delighted by one lady who you all read about. I'm not pronouncing her name right, Florentina or something like that, of Hewlett-Packard. And she took over as the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. And that was a big operation. And there was a lot of in-house fighting between members of the family who were participating on the board and other things like that. Well, she decided that they should take Compact, that is the computer company, into Hewlett-Packard as part of their program. Not to kill it, but to have it as another computer product. And, oh, they just fought her tooth and nail and just tried to knock her down, knock her down, knock her down. But, you see, she had a compulsion. She had a desire to make Hewlett-Packard into one of the most sound, financially stable companies in the world. But she didn't do what we think she did. She did that too. But she did more than we think she did. She stabilized the company. She made all of the offices, the departments pay off, you know, and she got rid of departments that were not beneficial to the company, even though they loved them, you know, like it's a baby that isn't doing its job. And so she got rid of these things. And, of course, a lot of people didn't like that. But in the past 3 months, maybe more longer, but approximately that, and certainly long before that, she has been at the ear of the rich and famous, all the great politicians. She has been speaking into Bush's ear about business management and programs like that. She has been speaking into Mandela's ear. You know who Mandela is? Mm-hmm. Down in Africa? And she has been speaking into the Pope's ear. And she has been down in South America speaking into the president of Peru and these other, in Brazil and these other places. What she's doing there, what right has she to go to all these places? Why is she? Because she's big. She's like Bill Gates. Who would ever say they don't want to talk to Bill Gates? Oh, my goodness, you know, richest man in the world. And she goes to these places and talks to these people. Now, we, in our innocence and ignorance, we think she is just, you know, making time for herself, that she's a big wheel, you know, she's a big lady, could talk, but she isn't. She is the ambassador for Hewlett-Packard, going down to these people humbly, and for her to be humble is quite something. She's a very dynamic, dominant lady, humbly speaking to these people, and at the same time enlisting their goodwill for her company, opening up the portholes of their economy so that her product can flow into those nations. And those are up-and-coming nations. Those are nations that have a lot of money, and they have a lot of demand. And she's doing well in the United States. That is pre-drawn. But now she's going to, and she even, I haven't heard this for sure, but I heard rumor that she was going to be in Japan too. Now, she is an amazing lady. But she had this idea whose time had come. She had this impulsion, this idea within her, and she made it into a habit. She not only spoke to one great national leader and people in those nations and producing engineers, she spoke to all of them. And she didn't waste time. She went right there. She knew she had a message. She had an idea, she had a concept, and she made it into a wonderful habit of going from one to the, and then each national leader knew she had spoken to the other national leader, so they were eager to have her come and speak to them too. You understand? So the doors were wide open for her. She is brilliant. She is absolutely brilliant. Now, could other company officials do the same thing? Sure. Do they? No. What do? They go down with their golf clubs and play on the golf courses in all these other countries, and they spend time doing things like that. Now, we had the privilege of having Sam here last night, and we only have him for a few days, and we spent 3 hours of that watching a movie, not talking to Sam and not picking his mind and sharing with him who we are and what he is and that sort of good stuff. Florentine, or however her name is, she would never do that. She would not go someplace where people of consequence were and then go to a movie. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't take the afternoon and go to, she might stay up late and watch a movie because she wants to keep current on what is in the movie industry, because they have investments in the movie industry too, you know. And just like Time Warner and the rest of these things, you know, it's big stuff. But she did exactly this. She had a compulsion to go and do this. There was a birth of an idea, the compulsion that was just starting out. It seemed like a temptation at first. Oh my, talk to all these big people. I mean, no matter how big you are, if you get to talk to big people, it's something. Now, if I say to the, Bill Gates, that the Pope would like to have an interview with him, do you think he'd go? You bet he would. You bet he would. Now, he doesn't need the Pope, but that title, talking to him, is quite something. It's quite something. It's quite an honor. And do you think the Pope would turn down an invitation to talk to Bill Gates? No way. Because that is the beauty of it. Yeah, that too. But you see, that is the beauty of it. Now, we all have this ability within us to follow our compulsions. And when our compulsion is sex, we are, what did we say there? We are nothing. Because our intellectual genius falls flat on its face anytime emotional attitudes come up, and sex is an emotional attitude. And so then all of our well-laid plans of mice and men go awry because we let our emotions trip us. We say that in the third course. Mm-hmm. And when this happens, we are useless. Now, do you think that she lets sex get in her way? Or that she lets emotions get in her way? Do you think she's a cold lady? Mm-hmm. I think she's a very warm lady, mm-hmm. but she is a knowing lady. She knows her values. She knows what direction she's going and who she's going to deal with. She knows that the people she's going to deal with are people who've been there, done that. Now, that she can open up economic trade relations with them for her company, wow. And, you know, in that same light, the war in Iraq came along. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to have the highest sensitiveness of a computer available to them, and they need a portable, and they need it tough, so they could drop it and drive a tank over it and stuff like that. Doesn't hurt it. Now, yes, that's true. And who came up with it? I'm sorry?
Unitech.
No, Panasonic.
Panasonic.
Yeah. Panasonic came up with it.
Mm.
Or one of those anyhow. But they came up with it. And they have such a rugged computer that all the industries in the world now are looking to that as a field computer for their people, because they can stand up to that. And with all the sand and the wind from the desert, you know, which gets into every little crevice and every little crack, that it has to be really sealed. But yet they got to have it open so they can type on it and things like that, you know. And it's got to have a long memory to it so that it will, you know, you don't get to plug it in out in the field that often. But they're figuring out all those details. Now, the war in Iraq has done more for our upgrading of our scientific technology than the years that went before. Because the instant need for this great improvement was there. It's true that the aerospace industry had done a lot in the past, but they had gone over some fundamental stuff. Now they're working in that. And in the glasses that the fellows wear in the field, in the army, and out in the desert, they have a little screen over here, which is a television screen, and they can see their computer, they can see all the details. Then over here, they have another television screen, you know, they look from side to side, and there, what is it? A GPU, ground position thing.
Wow.
And they know right where they are. Within feet, plus, headquarters knows right where they are. If they have a need, they don't ask questions. They've got the information right there on tape, you know, that has been recorded. And those glasses look so simple, like, you know, sort of swept back sunglasses and stuff. But it's fantastic. Popular Science had pictures of them recently. And then Discovery Magazine had some pictures on it, too. But this is fantastic, this world that we're living in. And when you get a compulsion, make sure that the compulsion is taking you where you want to go. Because if the compulsion is, ooh, that chocolate cake looks so good. You have to, is that compulsion going to lead you where you want to go? And you decide. And when you decide, then miracles can happen. But if you don't decide, then your compulsion will do this here. It'll be the temptation that you've chosen to follow, and it'll lead you where it wants to go, not where you want to go. We want to always be the masters of ourselves. We want to always be the person who is in charge of who we are. We want to be the spiritual genius that we are. But we cannot be a spiritual genius if we let our emotions disturb us, if we are touched by someone's attitude. Oh, I don't want you to come along. I don't think that I'd be very happy taking you along. Now, you stay home now, or we're going out to the show. You know, and you say, you know. And why do you do that? You created yourself staying home. Now, you know why you created yourself staying home? Because tonight on television is a show that they didn't want you to watch. And you're going to get to see it. You know? They thought they were punishing you because of whatever reason. And actually what they were doing was giving you permission to do what you wanted to do. Now, this happens. If you can see everything that takes place in your life as a blessing, and you're the master, never being touched by anything. You see, when we get touched by it, we fail to see the blessing. See, when we are judging it and when we are possessed by it, then we fail to see that we're staying home at the very time that we want to see this Robinson fight or something, you know, or some deal that, you know, the rest of the family just aren't too interested in. And we can have it turned up loud throughout the whole house, and we can have popcorn and beers. We're going around and just listen in every room and just, you know, enter into it. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, an illustration only. But these, everything is a blessing. We do not know how to create a curse. Last night in the Dickens show, the uncle, he said, "I curse you." And the boy said, "I do not accept your curse." Mm-hmm. I do not accept your curse. Hey, when did you have permission not to accept a curse? All your life you have permission. I mean, that was so beautifully and subtly done. Mm-hmm. If you weren't paying attention, you would miss it. Mm-hmm. You just think that the boy was being standing up, no, blah, 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 you know. But when you hear what he said, when you look, they chose a most excellent actor for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just won your heart just by being there.
Yeah.
And of course, knowing his background as the story person background, it made him even more, beautiful. But he was untouched. Mm-hmm. He was untouched. And the boy who was the slave, he went to the man when the man slapped him. And he said, "I did everything you asked. Why are you angry at me?" He was so innocent. Mm-hmm. He was so pure that he was untouched. This man, where he was in captivity with, did not kill him. His father had killed him mm-hmm. by raising him with insufficient life to give him strength to go through the rest of his world. And kept him away from his mother, too. So he probably was bottle-fed rather than even nipple-fed, you know. And so he didn't have all of the immune devices in his body that were needed. But anyhow, you see, this is our life. Just be very careful. Everything that you experience and everything that you do, you have created because you thought it was good, because you thought it was wonderful. And every time you go and you tell another person did something they shouldn't have done, there's something in you that feels dirty, real dirty. And if you keep doing it, you feel dirtier and dirtier. Not because you're doing anything wrong or right, but because you've got your nose out of your own business. You know, this is a terrible thing to say on the TV here or whatever we're talking on, but your own shit doesn't stink. You know, but somebody else's is terrible. If you go in the bathroom after someone else has just been in there, oh my goodness, boom, open up to everything else. But if you're in there and you have the same food they did, it doesn't bother you. And this is how our world should be. We should be untouched by everything else going on in the world. A mother is not touched by her baby's diapers. The urine can be kind of strong in a baby, but the deposits are not always that bad, you know. And you see, she is untouched by that. It's her compulsion to have a child. It's her compulsion to take care of the child. And like this young couple, these grandma and grandpa who were taking care of this little baby. How old was it?
5 months.
5 months, yeah. I was going to say about 6 months. 5 months. 5 months old. They didn't argue at night. But one time she'd get up and change the baby's diaper, another time he'd get up and change the baby's mm-hmm. diaper. Never thinking, that's your job, you know. I don't want to do that. You know. Never thinking, hey, that's my privilege to spend a little time with him alone and tell him how much I love him and how beautiful he is and what a fantastic person he is. And how I surround him with my pure white light of love and I see him glorious, glorious, glorious. Do you see? I tell you, our world is so wonderful, and it's such a shame that we don't open our eyes and see it that way. So I suggest to you, and I suggest to me too, I mean, there's lots more I can open my eyes to and enjoy. Each compulsion I have is a temptation that I have chosen to follow, and I don't need to live by compulsion anymore. I live by choice, the choice of purity, goodness, right action, truth, love, harmony, joy in all things. So now think about these things, and if I've said anything worthwhile tonight, give it another thought and enjoy it. And if you have a chance to play this tape over and over and over a few more times, you'll be surprised the things you didn't hear the first time. Because we listen sometimes to the adventure, and then we listen to the facts, and then finally we listen to the magic that is lying underneath there that we missed if we don't go back again and again and pick it up. So you have a lovely evening. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.